Welcome to Movie Magic with Thomas Heal. Thank you for tuning in today, and I hope you enjoy the upcoming episode. So this is the very first episode of my new podcast, and I have to say it feels quite liberating moving from YouTube onto the podcast platform, because on YouTube, you feel so constricted, and you feel like everything needs to be perfect, while on a podcast, on the contrary, it's actually quite more relaxed and casual, as you're really just more speaking about the topic rather than trying to figure out a strict script to say, and there's a lot less you have to worry about on a podcast. You don't have to worry about what you look like, you don't have to worry about your background. You don't have to worry about the lighting. You don't have to worry about the sound. Well, you have to worry about the sound on a podcast, obviously, because it's sound. But really, on a podcast, the only thing you need to worry about is the sound quality. And, of course, the content that you're delivering. So, I don't know. It just feels weird to actually be doing this. I feel like I'll be better at doing this because I'm more in tune, I guess, to speaking off the cuff rather than preparing a script ahead of time. Even when I did YouTube videos, I didn't even do that. I just kind of figured out what I wanted to say and then kind of did it. And if I screwed up, I would just re-record. So I think this will be a much better outlet for what I hope to achieve in this creative platform, I guess you could say. But yeah, moving on to the actual content of the episode. Today's Movie Magic episode, the very first, the inaugural episode of Movie Magic, is on the original Terminator movie. Released in 1984. I don't know what some of you might be wondering. Wow, is this because of the recently released Dark Fate trailer? Maybe. Maybe it is. I saw that trailer. I'm like, what the heck? What is this? What's going on? Who's this new Terminator? Right? What? All these Terminators look like they're going to a barbecue. Right? They have just have button downs. They have flannel on. The girl has this wife beater on, which is kind of ironic if you ask me. Doesn't look very good. So, after watching that trailer, I had the need to go back and rewatch the first two Terminators. The Terminator movies, basically the only Terminator movies that anyone actually includes on their list of Terminator movies that exist. Because no one really likes to talk about the third, the fourth, or Genesis. Understandably so. Even though I think Genesis gets a little bit more hate than it deserves, I actually liked it the one time that I saw it. But maybe I might not like it again when I rewatch it soon. Who knows? I'm sure I might do an episode about it, or I'll just throw it in there in an upcoming episode. Anyway, the original Terminator. Yes, released in 1984, directed by James Cameron, pretty much solely written by him, even though he gave Gale Ann Hurd a writing credit. I think that was just a deal they made behind the scenes, because he's even said that she wrote none of it, and he practically wrote everything. Yeah, so this is a James Cameron movie, and you can tell it's a James Cameron movie when you watch it, because his earlier films compared to his later films felt very gritty. They felt very, like, it just felt like they were made on the tightest budget possible, but it felt like the production team was doing as much as it could with the tight production budget they had. And that's exactly what they did with this first Terminator movie. The budget was only $7 million. That's really not a whole lot. So they were just filming what they could, and they were getting the props and the costumes with what they could afford. And when you watch the movie, it actually benefits the movie itself, because it makes it feel more rugged. It makes it feel more noir, so to speak, because it's set in the city. I don't know what city, but I'm sure it's somewhere in California, but it makes it feel like it's really gritty, and it just makes it feel hard-hitting. And that's, I think, what James Cameron was going for with this film. He wasn't trying to make it spotless and super clean like his later films have felt, especially Terminator 2, but that's a talk for another episode. This first movie, though, really nails it out of the park, and I am a firm believer in the fact that this movie could not have worked if they had cast anyone but Arnold Schwarzenegger in the role of the Terminator. They really couldn't do anything, and they really couldn't cast anyone else but him. the producers wanted to cast O.J. Simpson in the role, but ironically enough and funnily enough, James Cameron thought that America couldn't believe him as a killer. Well, we all know how that turned out. He's back in the 80s. O.J. Simpson was just a retired football player, and he was, quote-unquote, one of the nicest guys around. He starred in a lot of comedies like the Naked Gun movies. So that's a little strange, the fact that they wanted O.J. Simpson as the Terminator, because, of course, you know, hindsight's 20/20, and after seeing the movie, you really can't imagine anyone else as playing the Terminator. But Arnold Schwarzenegger nails it out of the park. He is actually the one, I believe, who carries this movie. Even though he really doesn't have a whole lot of lines, his screen presence is felt throughout the entire film, even if he isn't on screen. It's amazing. And during the actual casting of the movie, as to my knowledge, they didn't really have a hard time finding the actress who plays Sarah Connor. That's Linda Hamilton. But they had a very tough time finding the person who played Kyle Reese. And that was because, well, spoiler alert, but you know, the movie's 35 years old. They wanted to find someone who could accurately portray a deep connection to Sarah Connor in the role of Kyle Reese. And they really couldn't find anyone who could do that. According to them, the casting and James Cameron, the director, they couldn't really nail down an actor who could significantly and realistically forge a relationship with Sarah Connor, Linda Hamilton's character, in the runtime of the movie. So it was very difficult for them to find the role of the actor to play the role of Kyle Reese, and they eventually settled on Michael Bain, who I think does an awesome job. But nonetheless, I feel like as long as the two lead actors could realistically portray, you know, their falling in love and the connection that they make in only a few hours, only one night, I feel like anybody could play those two roles. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a specific actor, even though it's hard to imagine anyone else in those roles. When you think of the Terminator, no one thinks of Kyle Reese and Sarah Connor. They always think of the Terminator. They think of Arnold Schwarzenegger. And they think of, obviously, the robot, the cyborg, the Cyberdyne system that actually goes on the hunt for these people. So it's interesting that they had such a hard time trying to find someone to play these roles when, in fact, looking back, you know, 35 years later, looking on the legacy of the movie, that they only needed one person, and that was Arnold Schwarzenegger, because he carried this movie. He makes the movie, and without him, I don't think the movie would have been successful at all. And interestingly enough, during the filming of The Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger was also filming, I think it was Conan the Destroyer. Yes, if you didn't know, Arnold Schwarzenegger played Conan the Barbarian in the late 70s and early 80s. I don't know how many movies, but they made quite a bit. But when he was sitting, maybe during between takes, during the production of Conan, someone came up to him and noticed he had these boots on, or they were off in the corner in his dressing room or his trailer. They were just on set, and they asked him, "What are those boots doing here?" And he said, "Oh, no worry, it's just this dumb film I'm doing. And during night, it'd only take a couple weeks." So Arnold Schwarzenegger didn't even believe that this movie was going to be successful. In fact, he has stated later on in the years since the making and release of The Terminator that he only made this movie for the money and the fact that if it did fail, it would kind of fly under the radar of everyone who was watching it, and his reputation in Hollywood really wouldn't be damaged. So I think that The Terminator is maybe the role that Arnold Schwarzenegger is known the most for and remembered the most for. So it's true, and obviously that in life things don't play out how you plan it, or the unexpected things always become the most successful things and whatnot. But I think it's really funny that this role that he thought was going to be really dumb and wouldn't be successful at all turns out to be his most successful role and the role he's remembered for the most in. So yeah, those are my immediate thoughts on Terminator and what the movie is and how it feels. But this was my second time watching the movie. The first time I watched the movie was when I was a sophomore in high school, and My family owned the Terminator movies, but it wasn't on DVD. They were actually on VHS cassette tapes. So the first time I saw these two movies, Terminator 1 and Terminator 2, some movies that people hold to be, you know, one of the greatest pairing of action movies or movies in general ever made, I had to watch on VHS tapes. And what's funny about that is everyone, especially nowadays, always want the crispest image. They always want the highest definition image they can get. Most recently, that's 4K, you know, Blu-ray discs moving towards 8K shortly. But to the testament, I think that watching these movies on VHS and loving them as much as I did is a testament to the quality of these movies, because it shows that, I mean, I'm always a believer that, you know, content is king over everything else. You don't really need to have the best image or the best audio. As long as the story and the characters and the plot is good and decent, then the audience will follow along with it. And, you know, VHS tapes, they're not, their quality isn't bad to begin with, right? Like, they're passable. You can put in a VHS tape for anyone, and they'll probably sit down and watch it if it's a good movie. But, of course, you know, in today's age, of course I'm going to try to find the crispest and the best image and audio I can get. But then, at that time, all we had were the VHS tapes. And that was perfectly fine. That did the job. And, you know, I didn't, when I was watching the movies, I never actively thought, hey, I'm watching this on a VHS tape. I wonder what it would look like on DVD or Blu-ray or Laserdisc for the Laserdisc fanatics out there. So that's just a testament to the quality and the type of movie that these films are. Since then, however, I have procured the Blu-ray collection of the Terminator anthology that comes with Terminator 1, Terminator 2, Judgment Day, Terminator 3, and then Terminator 4, Salvation. I saw Salvation once, maybe 10 years ago, when it came out on DVD, but I have never seen the third. Well, I caught like the last half of the third on TV like 12 years ago, but I was so young then that, I mean, I kind of remember how it ends, but I don't really remember anything else about it. Everyone hates Terminator 3 and Terminator 4 and Terminator 5, so they went on a string of three movies that everyone absolutely hated, which I thought was funny that, you know, James Cameron keeps coming back to these films. He keeps wanting to revisit the Terminator world, and I believe it was 20th Century Fox, maybe Paramount. I think it might have been Paramount that had the rights. So after Terminator 2 was made, James Cameron didn't want to make any more Terminator movies. So he sold the rights of the franchise to one of these, you know, high-powered studios. And according to this contract, they needed to make a certain amount of films before the rights would revert back to James Cameron. Or maybe it was just that by a certain year, the rights would just revert back to James Cameron. And this has finally happened. However, the most recent Terminator film before Dark Fate, that's the newest one, it was Terminator Genisys. And if you go back and look into the promotional material or the behind the scenes they made for that movie, James Cameron actually states that he sees Genisys as the third movie in the Terminator saga. He's completely disregarding Terminator 3 and 4. And he's saying Genisys is the true sequel to Judgment Day. However, now he's saying that Genisys never happened and that Dark Fate is indeed the true sequel to Judgment Day. And that's a 27-year gap between sequels then. I just think that's funny because Terminator Genisys was meant to start a new trilogy of Terminator movies, and it was also meant to start a new TV show. I don't know where that TV show was going to be made or what network it was going to be on, but that was the intention of Terminator Genisys. And it only made, I think it made, you know, maybe around $350 million at the worldwide box office. It made less than $100 million domestically. And normally, you want to have a big action blockbuster hit at least $100 million, because that's kind of the in the industry, that's the cap for what is considered to be a blockbuster, is it has to make at least $100 million. But Terminator Genisys had a production budget of $150 million. So the movie only made $84 million domestically. It didn't even come close to reaching the production budget. And for those of you listening who don't know, is that for in order for a movie to break even at the box office, that means recoup what the studio actually put into the movie in terms of the production of the movie and the marketing of the movie, is the movie has to make 2.5 times the budget amount at the box office. So if it needed, so the production budget for Terminator Genesis was $150 million. In order for that movie to break even, it needed to make $375 million. Now, I know that the movie made above $300 million, and I know it didn't make above $400 million. So I don't even know if it even made back the money it put in or if the studio lost money on this, but I'm going to look it up quickly. If I had to guess, I would say it's around $375 million. But I don't know. I'm disappointed in myself. Normally, I know these things right off the top of my head. It always bugs me, by the way, that Terminator Genesis is spelt with a Y. That I never know how to spell this thing. It doesn't make any sense the way... I'm just going to look up Terminator. It doesn't make any sense to spell the word with a Y. It's just confusing. Was it supposed to stand out? Okay, so the production budget was actually $155 million. So that changes the break-even point by about, $10, $15 million. Okay, so it made $89 million domestically, which is just the United States market. But then foreign, which is every other single market in the world, it made $350 million. So it actually made $440 million worldwide. So this movie actually made money for the studio, but this movie was panned by critics and fans alike. Everyone absolutely hated this movie, and I saw it once 4 years ago, and from my knowledge, I don't remember it being all too bad. I don't remember it being that bad. I mean, you have Arnold Schwarzenegger's back as the Terminator, which was a must. Jason Clarke is playing, John Connor, which was a weird choice because he's not really an established actor in any shape, but he did a fine job from what I can remember. You have Jai Courtney, who played Kyle Reese, and it seems like Jai Courtney is the dude in Hollywood who just is the worst luck out of everyone. He's been given a lot of roles that were in these high octane, high powered franchises, and like he played John McClane's son in the most recent Die Hard movie. He played Kyle Reese in this Terminator movie. He played Captain Boomerang in Suicide Squad. And he's been in a lot of other movies, but he's had the chance to become this A-list actor, to become the best of the best, and absolutely no one has accepted him, and everyone keeps hating on him. The only role anyone's ever liked him in is Captain Boomerang, and he's barely in Suicide Squad. But yeah, he plays Kyle Reese, and Emilia Clarke plays Sarah Connor in Terminator Genesis. And if you ask me, that was probably one of the smartest casting decisions ever, because Emilia Clarke, she's hot off her role in Game of Thrones, which at the time the movie came out, 2015, the series was still going on, and arguably it was in its height of popularity. Game of Thrones kind of festered and became this powerhouse in TV, so she was immediately recognizable. And not only that, Emilia Clarke is Emilia Clarke. If you're going to cast anyone as Sarah Connor, you better get someone who is at the tier, who's on the same playing field as Emilia Clarke. So that's perfect. That was good casting on that part, and from what I can remember, she did a fine job. It's just, I think this movie, maybe it was the promotion material, maybe it was what James Cameron was saying. I think they promised a lot of things with this movie, and it just failed to live up to those expectations. I know in the movie they time travel back, and they go back to 1984, but apart from that, I mean, it's been so long since I've watched it. I'll have to rewatch it, but it's funny that the original Terminator movie was about sending a killer machine back in time to kill the mother of the child who will eventually grow up and become the leader of the resistance against the machines. And then, the resistance sends back their own man, Kyle Reese. It seems like every single Terminator movie since then, it's always been about sending people back in time. In Terminator 2, it's basically the same exact plot. They send back the T-1000, the liquid metal Terminator, to kill John Connor when he's a kid. So then they send back Arnold Schwarzenegger's model, the T-800, the Cyberdyne Systems 101 model, back to protect John Connor. So there is a little bit of a flip there, but it's essentially the same movie when you get to the bare bones, when you get to the skeletal structure of the movie. It's essentially the same exact movie as the first Terminator, with one slight difference. But the comparison between the two movies is that Terminator 2 is so polished. Every little aspect about that movie is so refined. and that it truly is a, you know, a spectacle to watch, as it's made brilliantly, it's filmed brilliantly, everything is so spotless. It just doesn't have the hardcore gritty factor that the first Terminator had. So I have a hard time distinguishing which movie I actually like more than the other. I pretty much flip-flop between Terminator 1 and 2. But in Terminator 3, I know I haven't seen it, but they still send a Terminator back in time. I think it's the TX. That's okay. And then in Terminator Salvation, I think that was the first movie that actually quit it with the time travel. So, and then as soon as they stop the time travel, the movies immediately pan. Now, I know Terminator 3 wasn't, you know, positively received either, but I think it was, you know, received more well than Terminator 4. And then Terminator 5, they actually time travel back to 1984. So you have the same, it's just time travel. That's what this series is about. And I think maybe if they find a way to get around the time travel option, they might be able to make a new movie that people actually enjoy, and that's actually kind of a unique twist and a unique take on the Terminator franchise. But given, I mean, the first trailer for Terminator Dark Fate was absolutely terrible. I mean, the antagonist Terminator, the evil Terminator, is just some dude. Like, he doesn't even have a physical presence to him. You know, he doesn't even have the intimidating quality that you would expect a Terminator to have. He's just wearing this button-down. He's literally wearing what I'm wearing right now. He's wearing a button-down in khakis. And, I mean, it looks like he's going to some barbecue or just to some, like, yeah, some barbecue. He doesn't look intimidating at all. I mean, if you put Arnold Schwarzenegger in a button-down in khakis, he would still look intimidating because he is that 6'4" muscular stature to him. But this kid who's playing this antagonist, this evil Terminator, has nothing to him. And then for the protagonist Terminator, they got this chick who has this Justin Bieber haircut and who has no muscle definition at all. She's just a stick. Now, within this Terminator movie, she is half human, half Terminator, which literally was the plot in Terminator Salvation. Sam Worthington played a, you know, half human, half Terminator entity. So it seems like they're just retreading that. But this new Terminator, this female Terminator, which I have absolutely no problem with if it's female. And in this movie, since she is half Terminator, she'll be able to do all these things that a woman of her physique normally shouldn't be able to do, just because she has absolutely no muscle definition. She doesn't look athletic at all. But so it makes sense why she's able to fight and do what she can, is because she has, you know, Terminator stuff within her. So she's essentially she's super powered. So it makes sense why she's doing what she's doing, but, you know, it's different from what your brain understands than what your eyes see. Your eyes are still seeing this, you know, 5'8", 5'6" maybe, stick figure, short-haired, white girl doing these extravagant and, you know, superhuman things, and she's wearing a tank top. Like, you could see everything. Like, she does not look intimidating or physically superior in any way. So your eyes are telling you that, whoa, this person should not be able to do the things she does, and then your brain is telling your eyes, or the information that is now in your head due to your eyes, no, she can, because she's got Terminator stuff in her. So throughout the whole movie, I expect every audience member is going to be constantly in this conflict within their own head, thinking, she shouldn't be able to do this, but wait, she can, she's a Terminator. So Dark Fate doesn't look good in any way. It doesn't look entertaining at all. I mean, yeah, Lyndall Hamilton is back as Sarah Connor, but it's been 27 years since we saw her. Like, I don't know how they're going to pick up and then make a good story around it. Like, people want to see Lyndall Hamilton, John Connor, and Sarah, or Lyndall Hamilton is Sarah Connor. They want to see Sarah Connor, John Connor, and Arnold Schwarzenegger's character back. That's all they want to see. They don't want to see any new Terminators. They don't want to see anything. That's all they want to see. And then the studio, you know, this would be their fourth movie since Terminator 2 Judgment Day in 1991. They have never given what the fans and what the Terminator fan base and community wants. And I feel like it would just be so simple. You get these three people back together. Obviously, John Connor is going to be an adult now. But that could be an interesting take on maybe where the franchise could go, is that, you know, he's always been a kid. John Connor has either been not born yet or he's been a kid. Maybe when he's an adult and he can, you know, take care of himself, you know, and maybe there's a Terminator still going after him, because as long as the movie takes place before 2029, when the when the first people are sent back in the first Terminator movie, pretty much you can do anything before that. So maybe the studio could get some interesting storyline going if they just make John Connor an adult. Now, they did that in Genesis, but that was set in the future. I don't know. And it's just, this Terminator series, the more I talk about it, the more I think about it, it's just, they should just let it die. You know, the first two Terminator movies are fantastic. They're both 10 out of 10s in my book. And you can watch them at any moment. You can watch them at any time, and you can still be, you can still thoroughly enjoy both movies. But every Terminator movie since just doesn't live up to the Terminator name and the Terminator franchise that was set by the first two movies. So maybe the studio should just let the Terminator movies die off and that's it. I mean, I would be okay with that. No one really goes back and watches Terminator 3, 4, or 5. And the first two movies, you can't recapture Lightning in a bottle a third time. You know, Star Wars couldn't even do it. Indiana Jones couldn't even do it. You know, capturing Lightning in a bottle once is difficult enough, but when you have to do it, you know, a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time, a sixth time. You know, Star Wars is releasing their 11th movie later on. That is so many movies. I think, you know, studios, movie studios, obviously this will never happen because they're in it for the money. But they should just, you know, focus on making good movies. If they make, you know, two or three good movies, that's it. Don't, you know, tarnish the legacy that these films set. Like, the original Star Wars trilogy was perfect, right? Like, well, Return of the Jedi's, you know, the first two movies in the original Star Wars trilogy are perfect, but the first two movies, you know, Return of the Jedi is okay. You know, it's a good movie, but it doesn't come close to the quality of the first two. You know, the prequel movies didn't need to be made. I'm happy they are because I actually really like the prequel movies, and it's nice to have a full, complete story about Anakin Skywalker and Darth Vader. However, the sequel trilogy didn't need to be made whatsoever. And I feel like, you know, Terminator is making the same mistake that Star Wars is making, is that they keep coming back to this world in order to make profit and to make more money from the license that these, you know, they have the license to the franchise. So I think maybe it's time for these movie studios to just stop. You know, focus on making new properties, focus on making new franchises that could become our generation's Terminator, our generation's Star Wars, our generation's Indiana Jones, our generation's Back to the Future. You know, stop going back and retreading these movies. Like, they came out in a specific time period in the 1980s when, you know, that the atmosphere, the social atmosphere then is completely different than the social atmosphere that exists now. So they have to play the game differently. So when they play the game differently and they, you know, they start playing by the rules of the social atmosphere that have to be played by now, you're going in direct contrast, into the social atmosphere that existed when these movies came out, which makes all the fans more mad at the current film that's coming out. So it's really a no-win scenario. You cannot win if you're making movies, sequels, from movies that were made in the 70s and 80s. They need to make original movies, original characters, original storylines, and hopefully these movies can become classics in their own right. Because I'm still waiting for, like, well, if you think about it, I'm still waiting for the definitive, you know, movie franchise nowadays. What is it? You know, it's Marvel, right? It's superhero movies, but they're kind of limited in what they can do, and we get so many of them. You know, we've gotten 22 Marvel movies that, I don't know, I'm just waiting for, you know, a good set of three really good movies that are R-rated. I'm still waiting for that. There aren't superhero movies or anything like that, so I don't know. That's just, I feel like the Terminator movies should just die out. So yeah, that's what I think of the Terminator franchise in the current moment. I know that this episode was supposed to be focused more on the first Terminator movie, but I kind of hit the entire franchise as a whole. If you liked the podcast, you know, thanks for listening. If you made it this far, I don't know how far people are going to get. This is a half-hour episode, but this was my first episode, you know, the inaugural episode of Movie Magic with Thomas Heal. Thanks for listening. I'm going to make at least one new episode every week, released on Wednesdays. As of right now, they're going to be available on Anchor, which is probably what you're listening to right now. But once they're approved on Spotify and Apple and Google Podcasts, they'll be available wherever podcasts can be listened to, which should be within a week of the release of this episode, which should be today. So thanks for listening. Remember to subscribe or to follow the podcast so you can keep up to date when I release episodes. Remember, I'll be uploading an episode at least every Wednesday, but You know, I'm sure I'll be doing episodes scattered throughout the week. So thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. I enjoyed talking about Terminator movies. I enjoy talking about whatever movies. So hope you enjoyed the episode. Thanks for listening. And I will catch you in the next one. All right. Thanks. See you.